Luke 21 verses 12 through 19. This is the reading of God's word. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. For I will give you utterance and wisdom, which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. O Father, we pray that you will bless hearing of your word so that our faith will grow, that we will live by faith. And by living by faith, we will be able to obey you in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us through your word. And through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive all the glory and pour out your grace upon your people. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know already, what the book of Luke shows us is that our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God comes with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? It means so many things, and we need to understand this. The kingdom of God coming means that this world is passing away. It means that the end of the age has come. And now Jesus in Luke chapter 21 tells us what would happen at the end of the age, meaning what would happen at the end times, meaning what would happen during the church age. Last time we have looked at the verses 8 through 11. Today, we're going to look at verses 12 through 19. Verse 12. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you and delivering you to the synagogues and prisons and bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. In verses 8 through 11, which we looked at last time, Jesus told us at the end of the age, wars and disturbances, earthquakes, plagues, famine, terror, and great sign from heaven will happen. And in now verse 12, he speaks of the great persecutions that the believers will face. And these persecutions are because of Jesus' name's sake. Of course, if you do wrong, you're going to suffer. And we're not talking about that kind of suffering. But because of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you suffer. Because of his name, because of him, because of our faith in him. John 15, verse 20 and 21, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Well, it says they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. Jesus says to the church in Smyrna, in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Well, at the end of the age, during the church age, these persecutions will happen to the believers. And if you study the history of the church, you will find so many examples of this. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 and 11. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw beneath the altar of the souls of those who have been slain because of the word of God and because the testimony which they had maintained. And they were saying, how long do we need to wait? Well, verse 11, and there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. Which means throughout the church age, these things will happen. Because of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will be persecuted. And we're not just talking about physical harm. Of course, they are included. But that suffering could come to you in so many different ways. Sometimes they will not give you the job because you are believers and you say certain things. You get the idea. And we see many examples in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4, verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day. Acts 5, verse 18, they laid hands on the apostles and put them in a public jail. Acts 16, verse 23, when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailers to guard them securely. And like I said, we have so many similar examples throughout the history of the church. And even today, in some countries, you will be jailed and you will be even killed because you would believe in Jesus Christ. You know, don't judge Christianity by what you see in America. There are many Christians, brothers and sisters, you know, they will meet secretly. And whenever they praise God, they will only open their mouth with no sound because they're afraid that people will find out. So these things are even happening today. And that's exactly what Jesus says. This kind of stuff will happen. Verse 13, it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. Yes, you will be taken to prison and you will be brought before kings and governors. But Jesus says, but it will lead to an opportunity for your testimony. The believers will be delivered to these kind of places and these kind of people, but that will lead to an opportunity to witness Jesus Christ. And we have good example by Paul, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. What was his circumstances? He was in jail. And he's writing this letter from jail. And he says that his circumstances turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. So Apostle Paul, when he was in prison, he witnessed to the guards. And those guards became the servants of Jesus Christ. We believe the people of Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, to be some of those people. It says, "All the saints greet you," Paul says, "especially those of Caesar's household." So he took that opportunity to witness Jesus Christ. And exactly that's what Jesus says, that these kind of things will be an opportunity for Christians to witness Jesus Christ. And we see examples in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. When they had brought them, they stood them before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching." Disciples were saying, "And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for His name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So they used these opportunities to preach Jesus Christ, even though they know what will happen to them. But when they beat them and released them, they were rejoicing. Why? Because God has considered them worthy to suffer shame for Jesus' name. Acts 26, verse 19 and 22 through 23. So King Agrippa, well, he is witnessing to this king. In verse 22, "So, having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophet and Moses said was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of His resurrection from the dead, He will be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and the Gentiles." We're looking at the true picture of Christians, how we are to live. And God has told us that because of our faith in Christ, our life will not be that easy. And you know what I'm talking about. Unless you remain silent and nobody knows you're a Christian, well, then nothing will happen. But once they find out and what you believe in and what you say, persecutions will come. Luke chapter 21, verse 14 through 15 now. "So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute." These verses remind us of Luke chapter 12, verse 11 through 12. We already saw this. "When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense, or what you are to say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you have to say." This is what our Lord told His people way back from Old Testament. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. "The Lord said to Moses, 'Who has made man's mouth, or who makes him mute or deaf, or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. In Acts chapter 6, verse 10, we see Stephen witnessing this reality. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Now, we will say more about this at the conclusion of this sermon. So we move to verse 16. But you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. At the end of the age, during the church age, the persecution for the believers not only come from outside, but also from inside. Jesus says parents, brothers, relatives, and friends will betray and put some of the believers to death. The believers will be betrayed by those who are close to them. And when you again study the church history, this happens so many times. Yeah, even in Korea. I grew up with stories of these kind of things. When Japan invaded Korea, and they say no worshiping Jesus Christ, it will be your family who will report you just to get some benefits out of that situation. Luke chapter 12, verse 51 and 53. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And this is what God has said, even from the Old Testament, Ezekiel 28, verse 21. A picture of the judgment of God is expressed this way. I will call for a sword against him on all my mountains, declares the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. Micah chapter 7, verse 5 to 6, do not trust in a neighbor. Do not have confidence in a friend. For her who lies in your bosom, guard your lips. For sons, treat fathers contemptuously. Daughters rises up against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemy are the men of his own household. And at the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that day has already come. The end of the age has come. Yes, you will often find the person who is against you believing Jesus Christ, and that person more serious than other people, and you will find that kind of person in your family. They will be so against it. Luke 21, verse 17. And you will be hated by all because of my name. At the end of age, during the church age, the believers will be hated by this world. John chapter 15, verse 18 through 21. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. The world will hate you. And we are called to rejoice when these persecutions happen. Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. We are not alarmed when this happens. Jesus has already told us that this will happen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. Luke chapter 21, verse 18 and 19, yet not a hair of your head will be perished. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Now, we need to be careful. And this is what is wrong with so many times when they read the Bible, they don't look at the context. I mean, the context of the whole Bible. We know that this is not Jesus promising his people a physical safety. I mean, this comes out in verse 18. Not a hair of your head will be perished, but two verses before, in verse 16, Jesus says, they will put some of you to death. So you really need to understand the context. Obviously, he's not saying that he will guarantee your physical safety in this world. It is in the same vein as 1 John chapter 5, verse 18b. He who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Yes, Satan cannot touch us ultimately. But physically, yes, he could do that. He could use princes and kings or the authorities in this world to harm us. But when it comes to spiritual safety, of course, it's a perfect safety. Even Satan cannot touch us. And we are reminded of what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 7a, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. And he says, you will gain your lives. Literally, you will gain your souls, meaning the eternal life. But he says, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. Does this mean that our endurance is a prerequisite for the eternal life? Are we learning Arminianism in this passage? Of course not. The Bible, I told you many times, Bible is often written this way. Bible says you must believe, then you will be saved. But we know that you cannot believe on your own. God has to make you believe. But they will just use that verse. See, Bible says you to believe first, then salvation comes. But no, you understand salvation came first. That's why you are able to believe. So many, many things are written like this in the Bible. But only when the Holy Spirit gives you understanding, you will figure it out. Otherwise, they will just look at the words without understanding the whole Bible and the context. They will come to the conclusion their sinful heart wants to come to conclusion. And that's what happens all the time. The other verses are needed to understand any verse in the Bible. It is saying that those with the eternal life will endure to the end. Not enduring to the end shows that he or she did not have the eternal life to begin with. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it will be shown that they all are not of us. By getting out, they witness that they're not with us. So this is how you need to understand the Bible. Yes, you must believe. And God says, you believe, then you will be saved. Nothing wrong with that. But we need to understand what God is really saying. Yes, I must believe. Of course. But God has to make us believe it. So God's action has to come first. Then we respond. But the sinful heart says, no, 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 we do. Then God will respond. No, that's not what the Bible really teaches. And you might say, why did God written the Bible like this? So that God told us. He deliberately say it like that, deliberately say in parables, so that by seeing they will not see, by hearing they will not hear. So even they read, they will not get it. That's why he wrote the Bible that way. He told us. It's not like it's a secret that he tried to trick us. No, he has told us. Now, listen very carefully. You don't have to understand much, but I want you to understand this. We kind of began last time, but we have, let me say in more detail. Now, when it comes to studying the Bible, there is a way that we must see the Bible. Otherwise, you're going to misunderstand it. Now, we have already said so many times, Bible is about Jesus Christ. Bible says so. So, we need to stick with that. Bible is about Jesus Christ. Now, this is how we must look at our passage or any other part of the Bible. Here, Jesus tells us of what will happen at the end of the age. But you need to understand all that he has told us will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We said everything is about Jesus Christ. How about these things that Jesus says, what will happen in the future? Are they about Christ? Yes! And if you don't see it like that, then what else is not about Christ? Or the whole Bible is about Christ. We believe the whole Bible is about Christ. Of course. So that these things that Jesus said will happen in the church age, this is Jesus' life. It will be fulfilled in him. Then we understand after he fulfills all these things, then the church is called to participate in his life. So that it becomes our reality. It will happen to us. This is how you understand the Bible. No matter where you go, it's about Jesus Christ and it's about us. Otherwise, then why do we even study it if it has nothing to do with us and if it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ? Jesus is not a fortune teller just telling you what will happen in the future. No, Jesus is prophesying, revealing the Word of God. It's a revelation to show Jesus Christ. So, everything that Jesus says that will happen at the end of the age, they are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was also delivered to the synagogues and prison and brought before kings and governors. Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Having arrested Jesus, they led Jesus away and brought him to the house of the high priest. Luke chapter 22, verse 66. When it was day, the council of elders of the people assembled, both chief priests and scribes, and they led Jesus away to their council chamber. Luke chapter 23, verse 1. Then the whole body of them got up and brought him before Pilate. Luke chapter 23, verse 7. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him, Jesus, to Herod, who himself also was in Jerusalem at that time. And the Roman soldiers laid their hands on Jesus and persecuted him. Luke chapter 23, verse 11. And Herod with his soldiers, after treating Jesus with contempt and mocking him, dressed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. John chapter 19, verse 1 through 3. Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, Hail, King of the Jews, and to give him slaps in the face. So those things are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And Jesus was also betrayed by his disciples, his friend, person who is so close to him. Jesus was betrayed by that person to be put to death. Luke chapter 22, verse 3 to 6, And Satan entered into Judas and was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. They were glad and agreed to give him money, so he consented and began seeking a good opportunity to betray Jesus to them apart from the crowd. And Jesus was hated by this world. John chapter 7, verse 7b, The world, it hated me, Jesus says, because I testify of it and that its deeds are evil. Thus this sinful world kills Jesus. But of course we know that he died for our sins. And our Lord endures to the end. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. By your endurance, you will receive the eternal life. By endurance, Jesus Christ sat at the right hand of God. So do you see it? That all these things are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, you and I, the church, we are now invited to participate in his life. When we study the history of church, we see so many Christians who were persecuted and received bodily harm and even killed, and who were betrayed by their friends and even by their family to be put in prison and handed over to the kings and governors and to be put to death. And so many people were and still even now hated by the world for their faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14 and 16, If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but it is to glorify God in this name. You and I, we too participate in the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we witness him at all times. Thus we pray, just like Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Paul is asking people to pray for him. Pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Do you pray like this? That you will have many opportunities to witness Christ to the people who are around you. And we endure. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive that was what was promised. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12 says, we endure and we will also reign with him. Jesus endured and he sat on the throne of God at the right hand of God, and here we endure and will also reign with Christ. So our endurance is not in vain. It will lead to our eternal life. Or I should say, it witnesses your possessing the eternal life. Because we have the eternal life, we will endure until the end. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned away, once you have turned again, strengthen your brother. And we have confidence that Jesus' prayer for us will surely come true. He's praying that your faith will not fail. And because of his prayer and because of his work in us, that we will endure. Even faced with this kind of sufferings and persecutions. Actually, we will use it as an opportunity to witness Jesus Christ. You know, when you go to these countries where they are persecuted, visibly persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ, they are very, very brave and strong. It's when we come to America, seemingly having all kinds of freedom to express our Christianity, and yet Christians are afraid to express it. Maybe Satan knows something. That if the bigger the suffering, people will be braver and braver to witness Christ. Maybe Satan is saying to his underlings, oh, no suffering. Just let him have a, you know, easy life. That's when Christians are even afraid to say, I'm Christian. Brothers and sisters, understand why you are born and why you are saved. And God is not just making your life miserable. That's not what his purpose is about. God wants to give you eternal life, forever life in heaven with him. But his design, his plan, is so that all of us be like Jesus Christ. And if Jesus lived a life of suffering, that's the design. We must do the same. Of course, our sufferings will not be even comparable to what Jesus went through. But just even little. Don't you want to imitate Christ? Or is your thinking so tuned with the world that you think suffering is just all bad? The Bible doesn't teach it like that. It is our honor to suffer for Christ. Continue to witness Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace toward us. Let us truly understand what you are telling us through your word. You have told us that these things will happen. And our job is not to avoid these things, but be ready for these things, for you have told us that these things will happen. So that we may witness Jesus Christ, no matter the circumstances that we are in, let us continue to preach Jesus Christ and witness him in all that we do and say. Bless us, God. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.